Gerusalemme Liberata by Torquato Tasso. The 13th Book. The Argument. Ismeno sets to guard the forest old, the wicked sprites whose ugly shapes affray, and put to flight those men whose labor would, to their dark shades let in, heaven's golden ray. Thither goes Tancred hardy, faithful, bold, but foolish pity lets him not assay his strength and courage. Here heat the Christian power annoys, whom to refresh God sends a shower. But scant dissolved into ashes cold, the smoking tower fell on the scorched grass, when new device found out the enchanter old, by which the town besieged secured was. Of timber fit his foes deprive he would, such terror bred that late consumed mass, so that the strength of Sion's walls to shake, they should no turrets, rams, nor engines make. From Godfrey's camp, a grove, a little way, amid the valleys deep, grows out of sight, thick with old trees whose horrid arms display an ugly shade like everlasting night. There, when the sun spreads forth his clearest ray, dim, thick, uncertain, gloomy seems the light. As when in evening, day and darkness strive, which should his foe from our horizon drive. But when the sun his chair in seas doth steep, night, horror, darkness, thick the place invade, which veil the mortal eyes with blindness deep, and with sad terror make weak hearts afraid. Thither no groom drives forth his tender sheep to browse or ease their faint in cooling shade, nor traveller nor pilgrim there to enter. So awful seems that forest old, dare venture. United there, the ghosts and goblins meet to frolic with their mates in silent night. With dragon's wings some cleave the welkin fleet, some nimbly run o'er hills and valleys light. A wicked troop that with allurement sweet draws sinful man from that what is good and right. And there, with hellish pomp, their banquets brought, they solemnize, thus the vain Parians thought. No twist, no twig, no bough nor branch, therefore, the Saracens cut from that sacred spring. But yet the Christians spared ne'er the more the trees to earth with cutting steel to bring. Thither went Ismen old with tresses hoar, when night on all this earth spread forth her wing, and there, in silence deaf and murksome shade, his characters and circles vain he made. He in the circle set one foot unshod, and whispered deadly charms in ghastly wise, three times, for witchcraft loveth numbers odd, towards the east he gaped, westward thrice. He struck the earth thrice with his charmed rod, wherewith dead bones he makes from grave to rise, and thrice the ground with naked foot he smote, and thus he cried loud with thundering note. Hear, hear, you spirits all that whilom fell, cast down from heaven with dint of roaring thunder. Hear, you amid the empty air that dwell, and storms and showers pour on these kingdoms under. Hear, all you devils that lie in deepest hell, and rend with torments damned ghosts asunder. And of those lands of death, of pain and fear, thou monarch great, great Dis, great Pluto, hear! Keep you this forest well, keep every tree, numbered I give you them, and truly told, as souls of men in bodies clothed be, so every plant a sprite shall hide and hold. With trembling fear make all the Christians flee, when they presume to cut these cedars old. This said, his charms he gan again repeat, which none can say but they that use like feet. At those strange speeches, still night's splendid fires quenched their lights and shrunk away for doubt. The feeble moon her silver beams retires and wrapped her horns with folding clouds about. Ismen his sprites to come with speed requires. Why come you not, you ever damned rout? Why tarry you so long? Pardee, you stay till stronger charms and greater words I say. I have not yet forgot, for want of use, what dreadful terms belong this sacred feat. my tongue, if still your stubborn hearts refuse, that so much dreaded name can well repeat, which heard, great Dis cannot himself excuse, but hither run from his eternal seat, O great and fearful! More he would have said, but that he saw the sturdy sprites obeyed. Legions of devils by thousands thither come, such as in sparsed air their biding make, and thousands also which by heavenly doom condemned lie in deep Avernus lake. But slow they came, displeased all and some, because those woods they should in keeping take. Yet they obeyed, and took the charge in hand, and under every branch and leaf they stand. When thus his cursed work performed was, the wizard to his king declared the feat. My lord, let fear, let doubt and sorrow pass, henceforth in safety stands your regal seat. Your foe, as he supposed, no mean now has to build again his rams and engines great. And then he told at large, from part to part, all what he late performed by wondrous art. Besides this help, another hap, quoth he, will shortly chance that brings not profit small. Within few days, Mars and the sun, I see, their fiery beams unite in Leo shall, and then extreme the scorching heat shall be, which neither rain can quench nor dews that fall. So placed are the planets, high and low, that heat, fire, burning, all the heavens for show. So great with us will be the warmth, therefore, as with the Garamants, or those of Ind, yet nil it grieve us in this town so sore. We have sweet shade and waters cold by kind. Our foes abroad will be tormented more. What shield can they or what refreshing find? Heaven will them vanquish first, then Egypt's crew. Destroy them quite, weak, weary, faint, and few. Thou shalt sit still and conquer. Prove no more the doubtful hazard of uncertain fight. But if Argantes bold, that hates so sore all cause of quiet peace, though just and right, provoke thee forth to battle as before, find means to calm the rage of that fierce knight, for shortly heaven will send thee ease and peace, and war and trouble amongst thy foes increase. The king, assured by these speeches fair, held Godfrey's power, his might and strength, in scorn, and now the walls he gan in part repair, which late the ram had bruised with iron horn. With wise foresight and well-advised care, he fortified each breach and bulwark torn, and all his folk, men, women, children small, with endless toil again repaired the wall. But Godfrey knew this while bring forth his power to give assault against that fort in vain, till he had builded new his dreadful tower, and reared high his downfallen rams again. His workmen, therefore, he dispatched that hour to hew the trees out of the forest main. They went, and scant the wood appeared in sight, when wonders knew their fearful hearts affright. As silly children dare not bend their eye where they are told strange bugbears haunt the place, or as new monsters, while in bed they lie, their fearful thoughts present before their face, so feared they and fled, yet wist not why, nor what pursued them in that fearful chase. Except their fear, perchance while thus they fled, new chimeras, sphinxes, or like monsters bred. Swift to the camp, they turned back dismayed, with words confused, uncertain tales they told, that all which heard them scorned what they said, and those reports for lies and fables hold. A chosen crew, in shining arms arrayed, Duke Godfrey thither sent, of soldiers bold, to guard the men, and their faint arms provoke, to cut the dreadful trees with hardy stroke. These drawing near the wood were close apent, the wicked sprites in sylvan pinfolds were, their eyes upon those shades no sooner bent, but frozen dreads pierced through their entrails dear. Yet on they stalked, still, and on they went, under bold semblance hiding coward fear, and so far wandered forth with trembling pace, till they approached nigh that enchanted place. when from the grove a fearful sound outbreaks, as if some earthquake hill and mountain tore, wherein the southern wind a rumbling makes, or like sea waves against the scraggy shore. There lions grumble, there hiss scaly snakes, there howl the wolves, the rugged bears there roar. There trumpets shrill are heard and thunders fell, and all these sounds one sound expressed well. Upon their faces pale, well might you note a thousand signs of heart-amating fear. Their reason gone, by no device they wot how to press nigh or stay still where they were. Against that sudden dread their breasts which smote, their courage weak, no shield of proof could bear. At last they fled, and one than all, more bold, excused their flight, and thus the wonders told. My lord, not one of us there is, I grant, that dares cut down one branch in yonder spring. I think there dwells a sprite in every plant. There keeps his court great Dis, infernal king. He hath a heart of hardened adamant, that without trembling dares attempt the thing. And sense he wanteth, who so hardy is, to hear the forest thunder, roar, and hiss. This said, Alcasto to his words gave heed. Alcasto, leader of the Switzers grim, a man both void of wit and void of dread, who feared not loss of life nor loss of limb. No savage beasts in desert wild that feed, nor ugly monster could dishearten him, nor whirlwind, thunder, earthquake, storm, or aught that in this world is strange or fearful thought. He shook his head, and smiling thus gan say, "The hardiness have I that wood to fell, and those proud trees low in the depths to lay, wherein such grisly fiends and monsters dwell. No roaring ghost my courage can dismay, no shriek of birds, beasts roar, or dragons yell. But through and through that forest will I wend, although to deepest hell the paths descend." Thus boasted he, and leave to go desired, and forward went with joyful cheer and will. He viewed the wood and those thick shades admired, he heard the wondrous noise and rumbling shrill. Yet not one foot the audacious man retired, he scorned the peril, pressing forward still, till on the forest's outmost marge he stepped. A flaming fire from entrance there him kept. The fire increased and built a stately wall of burning coals, quick sparks, and embers hot, and there, and with bright flames, the wood environed all, that there no tree nor twist Alcasto got. The higher stretched the flames seemed bulwarks tall, castles and turrets full of fiery shot, with slings and engines strong of every sort. What mortal wight durst scale so strange a fort? Oh, what strange monsters on the battlement in loathsome form stood to defend the place! Their frowning looks upon the knight they bent, and threatened death with shot, with sword and mace. At last he fled, and though but slow he went, as lions do whom jolly hunters chase, yet fled the man, and with sad fear withdrew, though fear till then he never felt nor knew. That he had fled long time he never wist, but when far run he had discovered it, himself for wonder with his hand he blissed, a bitter sorrow by the heart him bit. Amazed, ashamed, disgraced, sad, silent, trist, alone he would all day in darkness sit, nor durst he look on man of worth or fame. His pride, late great, now greater made his shame. Godfredo called him, but he found delays and causes why he should his cabin keep. At length, perforce, he comes, but naught he says, or talks like those that babble in their sleep. His shamefacedness to Godfrey plain bewrays his flight, so does his sighs and sadness deep. Whereat, amazed, "What chance is this?" quoth he. "These witchcrafts strange, or nature's wonders be. But if his courage any champion move to try the hazard of this dreadful spring, I give him leave the adventure great to prove. Some news he may report us of the thing." This said, his lords attempt the charmed grove, yet nothing back but fear and flight they bring. For them enforced with trembling to retire, the sight, the sound, the monsters, and the fire. This happed when woeful Tancred left his bed to lay in marble cold his mistress dear. The lively color from his cheek was fled, his limbs were weak, his helm a targe to bear. Natheless, when need to high attempts him led, no labor would he shun, no danger fear. His valor, boldness, heart, and courage brave to his faint body strength and vigor gave. To this exploit forth went the venturous knight, fearless, yet heedful, silent, well advised, the terrors of that forest's dreadful sight, storms, earthquakes, thunders, cries, he all despised. He feared nothing, yet a motion light that quickly vanished in his heart arised, when lo, between him and the charmed wood, a fiery city, high as heaven, upstood. The knight stepped back, and took a sudden pause, and to himself, "What help these arms?" quoth he. "If in this fire, or monster's gaping jaws, I headlong cast myself, what boots it me? For common profit, or my country's cause, to hazard life before me, none should be. But this exploit of no such weight I hold, for it to lose a prince or champion bold. But if I fly, what will the pagans say? If I retire, who shall cut down this spring? Godfredo will attempt it every day. What if some other knight perform the thing? These flames uprisen to forestall my way, perchance more terror far than danger bring. But hap what shall." This said, he forward stepped, and through the fire, oh, wondrous boldness, leapt. He bolted through, but neither warmth nor heat he felt, nor sign of fire or scorching flame. Yet wist he not in his dismayed conceit if that were fire or no through which he came. For at first touch vanished those monsters great, and in their stead the clouds black night did frame, and hideous storms and showers of hail and rain. Yet storms and tempests vanished straight again. Amazed, but not afraid, the champion good stood still, but when the tempest passed he spied, he entered boldly that forbidden wood, and of the forest all the secrets eyed. In all his walk no sprite or phantasm stood, that stopped his way or passage free denied, save that the growing trees so thick were set, that oft his sight and passage oft they let. At length a fair and spacious green he spied, like calmest waters, plain, like velvet, soft, wherein a cypress clad in summer's pride, pyramid-wise, lift up his tops aloft, in whose smooth bark upon the evenest side strange characters he found, and viewed them oft, like those which priests of Egypt erst instead of letters used, which none but they could read. Amongst them he picked out these words at last, writ in the Syriac tongue, which well he could. O hardy knight, who through these woods hast passed, where death his palace and his court doth hold, O trouble not these souls in quiet place, O be not cruel as thy heart is bold. Pardon these ghosts deprived of heavenly light, with spirits dead, why should men living fight? This found he graven in the tender rind, and while he mused on this uncouth writ, him thought he heard the softly whistling wind his blasts amid the leaves and branches knit, and frame a sound like speech of humankind, but full of sorrow, grief, and woe was it, whereby his gentle thoughts all filled were with pity, sadness, grief, compassion, fear. He drew his sword at last, and gave the tree a mighty blow that made a gaping wound. Out of the rift red streams he trickling see, that all be bled the verdant plain around. His hair start up, yet once again struck he nood give over till the end he found of this adventure, when with plaint and moan, as from some hollow grave, he heard one groan. "Enough, enough," the voice lamenting said. "Tancred, thou hast me hurt, thou didst me drive out of the body of a noble maid who with me lived, whom late I kept on live, and now within this woeful cypress laid, My tender rind thy weapon sharp doth rive. Cruel is't not enough thy foes to kill, but in their graves wilt thou torment them still? I was Clorinda, now imprisoned here, yet not alone within this plant I dwell, for every pagan lord and Christian peer, before the city's walls, last day that fell, in bodies new or graves I wot not clear, but here they are confined by magic spell, so that each tree hath life, and since each bough, a murderer, if thou cut one twist, art thou. As the sick man that in his sleep doth see some ugly dragon or some chimera new, though he suspect or half persuaded be, it is an idle dream, no monster true, yet still he fears, he quakes, and strives to flee, so fearful is that wondrous form to view. So feared the knight, yet he both knew and thought all were illusions false by witchcraft wrought. But cold and trembling waxed his frozen heart, such strange effects, such passions it torment. Out of his feeble hand his weapons start, himself out of his wits nigh after went. Wounded he saw, he thought, for pain and smart, his lady weep, complain, mourn, and lament. Nor could he suffer her dear blood to see, or hear her sighs that deep far-fetched be. Thus his fierce heart, which death had scorned oft, whom no strange shape or monster could dismay, with feigned shows of tender love made soft, a spirit false did with vain plaints betray. A whirling wind his sword heaved up aloft, and through the forest bare it quite away. O'ercome retired the prince, and as he came, his sword he found, and repossessed the same. Yet nud return, he had no mind to try his courage further in those forests green. But when to Godfrey's tent he proached nigh, his spirits waked, his thoughts composed been. "My lord," quoth he, "a witness true am I of wonders strange, believe it scant though seen. What of the fire, the shades, the dreadful sound you heard, all true by proof myself have found. A burning fire, so are those deserts charmed, built like a battled wall to heaven was reared, whereon with darts and dreadful weapons armed, of monsters foul, misshaped, whole bands appeared. But through them all I passed unhurt, unharmed, no flame or threatened blow I felt or feared. Then rain and night I found, but straight again to day the night, to sunshine turned the rain. What would you more? Each tree through all that wood hath sense, hath life, hath speech, like humankind. I heard their words as in that grove I stood, that mournful voice still, still I bear in mind. And as they were of flesh, the purple blood at every blow streams from the wounded rind. No, no, not I, nor any else I trow, hath power to cut one leaf, one branch, one bough. While thus he said, the Christian's noble guide felt uncouth strife in his contentious thought. He thought, what if himself in person tried those witchcrafts strange, and bring those charms to naught? For such he deemed them, or elsewhere provide for timber easier got, though further sought. But from his study he at last abrayed, called by the hermit old that to him said, "Leave off thy hardy thought, another's hands of these her plants the wood despoiling shall. Now, now, the fatal ship of conquest lands, her sails are struck, her silver anchors fall. Our champion broken hath his worthless bands, and looseth from the soil which held him thrall. The time draws nigh when our proud foes in field shall slaughtered lie, and Sion's fort shall yield." This said, his visage shone with beams divine, and more than mortal was his voice's sound. Godfredo's thought to other acts inclined. His working brain was never idle found. But in the crab now did bright Titan shine, and scorched with scalding beams the parched ground, and made unfit for toil or warlike feat his soldiers, weak with labor, faint with sweat. The planets mild their lamps benign quenched out, and cruel stars in heaven did sinuarize, whose influence cast fiery flames about, and hot impressions through the earth and skies. The growing heat still gathered deeper rout, the noisome warmth through lands and kingdoms flies. A harmful night, a hurtful day succeeds, and worse than both, next morn her light outspreads. End of part 1 of the 13th book.